o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, we've got some breaking news from the Texans. Tyler, what's the latest?
Yes, boys. Actually, just a few seconds ago, this is being reported by Phil Yates. He says Texans wide receiver Tank Dell, along with running back Damian Pierce, they are officially ruled out for Sunday's game, Week 4 versus the Jaguars.
All right, that wasn't official.
Mixon is questionable as well, by the way.
Questionable. It hadn't been official yet, but something that we kind of felt was expected, or at least leaning towards that way. Neither one had practiced all week long, and in Damian Pierce's case, he has not practiced in 3 weeks. This will be the third straight game that Damian Pierce has missed, and this will be the first game of the season that Tank Dell has missed, who's got several injuries, severely bruised ribs, and also a hand and wrist situation as well. And then Damian Pierce is going to miss his third straight game with that hamstring situation. So, Clint, not surprising, but clearly at least the Texans have probably had pretty good time to prepare going on without these guys on Sunday.
Yeah, look, I mean, you're talking about two positions where I think the team is deep, right? I mean, you look wide receiver position, you've got answers. You've got a $7 million insurance policy in Robert Woods. You've got John Metchie, who was running with the ones a lot of the time late in camp. You got Xavier Hutchinson, who somehow, some way, was getting catches last week. So you've got guys, you got plenty of dudes that are capable of filling that role and can go out there and make plays. They're not Tank Dell, but they can go out there and make plays. And I think I said it yesterday. Robert Woods is the guy to me that gives you the best opportunity, because you can put Robert Woods in any of the positions. He knows all the pre-snap shifts. He knows all the movements, and so he's very versatile. So you literally, in the moment, C.J. Stroud could get in the huddle and say, hey, we're going to run this play, but I want Nico Collins at Z, and I want Robert Woods to go to Z. You know, switch with Robert, boom, and then you got your best receiver in the right spot. And Robert Woods will know exactly what to do. So I think the safest angle there is Robert Woods, but you got plenty. You got options. And then you look at Damian Pierce, and look, man, the reality of it is I've said it before, whether you prefer Cam Akers or Damian Pierce as the backup, it's all about the guys up front. If they block well, whoever you turn around and hand that damn ball to is going to make hay.
And it's a lot different now that it looks like that Joe Mixon's going to play.
Yeah.
That would be a different thing if Joe was out and Damian was like last week.
Yeah.
I also want to slide in, and Tyler, you tell me if I'm not getting this right, but Jimmy Ward is out of this game as well, right, with the
groin? That is correct, yes,
okay,
as well as the Jaguars' Evan Engram.
So Evan Engram out for the Jags, so they're missing one of their guys. They've got several tight ends they like to go to, but he kind of really resurrected his career with Jacksonville the last couple of years. But that's now Jimmy Ward, too, so that brings another safety down out of it. That's a starter. That's two starters there when you look at Tank Dell and Jimmy Ward. And Jimmy Ward, one of the mouthpieces and leaders back there on the defense. This means we'll see a lot more Bullock. We'll see probably some MJ Stewart now as he'll come in. Or I wonder, does this affect Jalen Petrie? Is this a place where they maybe move Jalen Petrie back and have another person playing nickel on this team? We'll see what D'Amico and Matt Burke want to do. But Jimmy Ward is also out of this game. So Tank Dell, Jimmy Ward, and Damian Pierce all out of this game right now.
Yeah, look, and the deal with Kalen Bullock, we've been talking about. You're talking about a guy that's got a unique skill set, man, brings more to the table really than any safety that we have in terms of how high his ceiling is and how his playmaking ability. So I don't know how far along he is in terms of being prepared for this opportunity. I'm sure he is as prepared as he can be, because D'Amico Ryans typically is on top of that. And we'll see exactly how it all goes down. But Kalen Bullock is a guy that again, from jump, he just looked like he fit in the NFL at training camp. He's made plays consistently since. And I can get good and excited about seeing him play.
Yeah, so we'll see a lot more of him. And if we look at it, as you look at it, I'm not saying that these aren't important guys to have out, but the thought that Joe Mixon is going to return really helps this thing, because the other spots where you're like, all right, Jimmy Ward's out, damn, that's a leader, that's a voice, but as you said, Kalen Bullock is much more naturally talented than him, and you can do more things. You look at Tank Dell, and I think that is a big one. I think he is a playmaker, and I think they like to do things. But you still have Stephon Diggs, and you still have Nico Collins there that are two really good receivers, not to mention, you know, Robert Woods can kind of fill the void. And it's not like Tank Dell has been extremely productive the whole way. And then, of course, Damian Pierce is your backup with Joe Mixon playing. So yeah, tough luck there to have those three guys out and two starters, and kind of is going to test the depth a little bit. But the Texans do have depth there, and we'll get the official injury report when that comes out there. But John Metchie, looks like John Metchie, if John Metchie don't dress, Clint, if John Metchie's not active in this thing, I'm going to be like, okay, all right. I can't see how he's not. John Metchie's, I don't know how much action he's going to get.
Look, there's no way he's not, Ron, because even from a special teams perspective, look at the crossover, right? You're down a running back, so you got a running back that's out, right? You're down a tight end, you got a tight end that's out, right? You're down a safety, you got a safety that's out. So there's no, like, you sit there and go, okay, would you rather have that fifth, or that'd be a sixth, receiver, John Metchie?
Or is there another receiver on the practice squad they might want to take?
Well, but what I'm saying is, like, yeah. I mean, it would have to be two or three guys, because you're subtracting a safety, you're subtracting a tight end, you're subtracting a running back. Like, you off the active roster, the decisions are being made for you at a chunk of those positions. So it would be hard for Metchie not to be active on this roster Sunday.
So we hope to see that. Again, if you are just joining us, Tank Dell, Jimmy Ward, safety, and Damian Pierce have all been ruled out for Sunday's game against the Jags. Joe Mixon, who returned to practice today, is questionable, as is Foley Fatakasi, who has had a shoulder situation. He was limited in practice the last couple of days, but he has been ruled as questionable. Evan Engram on the Jags side, they're tied in. He is out. So that is the latest news right there with the Texans injury front.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, the Astros, after a day off and after understanding exactly where they're going to be, they're going to be the 3 seed. Now it's a matter of who they're going to play. And it looks like it will be between the Royals and the Tigers. The Twins have faint playoff hopes, as they need the Royals or the Tigers to go winless the rest of the way and then win their games to have a chance to get in.
Well, we've seen the Royals go winless in a series before, that's for damn sure.
Unnecessary. They're currently on a 3-game winning streak, so we'll see how that goes as they try to get in. But they know where they are, so there's going to be a sense of Joe and crew playing this lineup, playing how they set things up to get some guys some rest. And that's going to be the interesting thing, to see how he does that over these 3 games. Now, they've got Ronel Blanco on the mound. I almost wish, Clint, they started a reliever and then made Ronel Blanco come in the second or the third, because I think that's going to be his potential role in the postseason. Like, I think he is going to – that role, if you remember several years ago that Christian Javier played. Now, hopefully they don't have guys going 3 and 4 innings like those teams did. Yeah. Or 2 innings. But I think when we see the role that he will play will be piggyback, coming up to help somebody, it'd almost be good to kind of see him get acclimated to that role, having to get in the bullpen and get ready.
It would be making the most of your reps, that's for sure.
You know, getting prepared for the postseason. But he is going to start tonight. And when we said it's a wonder how Joe's going to handle it, here is the lineup as they play Cleveland. Altuve is in it. He will lead off at second. Tucker is batting second in right field. Bregman is third. Yainer Diaz is catching. Caratini's at first. You said it last week. It looks like they are really trying to get him some reps at first base, because potentially that's where he is going to get some time to play. And this is sad. There he is. This is sad. Zach DiCenzo is the DH tonight because they sent Shea's ass home. And I think because Tyler put him on the turd list and ran him down, that they decided to send him back down to Sugar Land. Now, obviously he had 4 errors in about 3 or 4 innings, so maybe that.
The nightmare third continues for Shea.
I'm telling you.
May have something to do with it.
I'm telling you. Hey, That was one of them games. You had a good start, man. You had a good start to your year, Shay. Did some good things early in the year, man. And this is on Bregman, man. It's Bregman's fault.
No, this is Shay.
Bregman had to get his little wave to the crowd or whatever, man. Look, if Bregman stays in the game.
In that case, it's got to be a Spada's fault. Breggy, you know, doesn't want to ever come out of no game.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm just telling you,
Shay's
fault, damn it. He's got to get one of those.
Shay's still got a job today, and he's collecting a much bigger check on Tuesday if he doesn't have to go in there and, God, what was there? Throw to home.
Continues for Shay.
I mean, I can't get that out of my head, man. Yeah. I mean, I think about
– He had a tough one to first, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he had a tough one. But Zach DiCenzo, they call him back up.
I mean, you know, what was Shay's game checks, Tyler? You think we can finally get Cheryl on that, man? Could you imagine? Like, he's going to do – in his head, he's going, man, I could have made me.
I hope it covers his travel expenses back to Sugarland.
Let me tell you, Sugarland checks ain't –
It was so bad, they told him to take Greyhound.
Yeah.
you can Uber to Sugarland, Chief.
Grab you that lift there, Shay.
Take your ass to Greyhound. Oh, man. A Greyhound to Sugar Land. That's what we want you to do. All right, DiCenzo's the DH tonight. Jake Myers is in center. Dubon is in left. And Kessinger is at short, giving Pena a night off. So it looks like, Clint, they're going to maybe periodically rest certain guys. I would imagine Altuve gets a day off. The person I do like seeing in there is Tucker. I think Tucker needs to continue getting as many swings as he can get. I think he looks decent, but obviously we saw Verlander missing that much time and how long it took for him to kind of pick things up, which he never did. But you want to get Tucker as many at bats, so I like to see him in the game.
I love this lineup, man. I would rather err on the side of overworking guys than having Russ come a three-game wild card series. So I love these guys wanting to get run because surely these guys have been talked to one-on-one and feel like they need to get these at-bats. They need to see live pitching. Now I would have had a Stern talking to with everyone. Guys, at least my top four hitters for damn sure. Hey, I don't need you stretching anymore.
We're not getting triples tonight.
Hey, unless it hits the wall, your ass is on first base.
Your ass better stand
That's
up.
If it doesn't touch the wall, then you better be standing up somewhere. That's a good point. Yeah, stand up somewhere. We ain't sliding.
Stand up triples, baby.
That's it, baby. Wherever you're at, just make sure you're standing up.
Tyler, do you think, especially the top four, Altuve, Tucker, Bregman, Diaz, how many innings you think those guys play tonight? You think they play the full nine?
I think it'll depend probably on just how it unfolds early in the game, but I wouldn't expect a full nine. No.
This feels like a real spring training-esque
I would co-sign that.
Type of a deal. Now, I think Dubon's going to play about three positions tonight. I think Dubon might slide up there at short. Dubon might play play second.
As long as Forer Shay ain't out there, that's fine.
Well, no, he's in Sugar Land. Well, he gets to play on the AAA championship team, I think.
Let that die, Tom.
Minor league player of the year, Shay Whitcomb.
Let that die,
He
man.
Was, man. God.
How about that? He went from celebrating, for a baseball.
He was going to be on this playoff team.
I mean, for an up-and-coming baseball player, man, I mean, he got the player of the year, man. I mean, that's
big
for
him. He was
going to
be on this playoff team.
And he had to ruin it all in one day.
I believe they announced it the same day.
713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube, between. How many errors do you think he could have had to keep him here? Do you think if he'd have got two, he would have been fine?
Two's the max. Well, any player is two.
Well, you think once he hit that third one, it was over?
It's kind of like, this is what you expect to happen after a guy has four mishaps like that. Not everybody doesn't even mention his name, Laramie.
Yeah, but as soon as you hit that hat trick, thoughts are not good about
you. You wanted him to send Laramie to Sugar Land.
Yeah, make him jog to Sugar Land.
Make him go to Katy. You're going to Katy.
Oh, hell.
Big 3-3. Number 3.
All right, Thursday night football last night. The Cowboys, they get a dub 20-15. I don't know if they exactly made Cowboy fans feel really great about their team.
There it was.
20-15. Real quick, and when you look at our bets, all of our bets yesterday, our best bets, all of our bets slid in to that game last night. And
you were a push, though.
I'm just saying. I hadn't gotten to the how they turned out. I'm just saying all of the bets came within that game.
Well, I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Well, two of us won.
Clint went with Malik Nabers, 6.5 receptions, and he tore through that. And including a concussion that sent him out for the game, he still managed to get 12 receptions on 15 targets for 115 yards. Tyler had Daniel Jones and Kay Adams over 202.5 yards, and clearly Kay Adams came in and We wished him good luck before the game because he went 29 of 40 for 281 yards. You won on that one. I had the Cowboys. I took the over there as they were minus five. I thought they'd win this thing by
spread.
Whatever. Double digits. And no, they didn't. They won by five. That's Vegas knows it. They missed a field goal by the best long-distance kicker who I don't think had ever missed a 50-yard field goal, including in the 60s.
Dude, a lot of people had five and a half. A lot of people lost on that missed field goal.
Yes, and Al Michaels was all into it, as he always is. Al Michaels, somebody's very happy that they're rolling out here for a field goal attempt. Oh, wow! He's been on the gambling thing. So.
I mean, even if you had five, how disgusted are you?
You ain't lying, man.
I mean, if you had real money on it. I'm glad I did.
Yeah. You all pulled it out. You all won on the best bets, so good job. The big thing out of this game, though, is not just that the Cowboys didn't look great against a bad team, but Micah Parsons got rolled up late with his ankle. I know he was having an MRI today. So we'll see the latest on that, but I mean, you talk about fall apart. They lose him. I think Lawrence was out towards the end of the game as well. So their two best defensive players were out. Hell, Diggs had to get an IV because he was struggling in there. So tough one for their defense. But while they were all in there, they did stop the run though. They were able to do that. They were worse.
Yeah,
than
they
football.
Look. They stopped.
So you can take that away.
They stopped the best junior high rushing attack in New York. They did a really, really good job. I heard somebody say earlier, and I about fell off my damn couch.
It's junior high. Huh?
Look, I mean, here's the deal. Is that the only way that game could have been worse is if they'd have lost. Like, they did everything they could to piss off the fan base except for losing.
Except for the losing part.
Except for losing. Yeah, it was like you mentioned, the guys getting hurt. Daniel Jones actually looked pretty damn good. I guess my standard's really low.
Much better than you would think.
Yeah, I thought Tyler was making a risky bet. Hell, that was – I checked
it. He cleared
that in the third quarter.
That was the only bet on that game last night I lost.
Yeah. You won that bet.
I thought you were talking about the yards. Never mind.
Yeah, it was Daniel Jones over, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about something else. That's my fault.
I thought that was a risky bet. Hell, I looked at the third quarter and he was knocking them down. So couldn't run the football, and he's spinning it around the park. Now they wasn't worth a damn in the damn red zone. They couldn't get touchdowns for nothing, or else the Cowboys would have been in trouble. But yeah, I mean, if they would have lost, I think it would have obviously been a lot worse. But you didn't convince anybody that you're a better football team than the Giants.
No, that you didn't make you feel good about this next three game stretch of how the Cowboys are going to look against the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road, Detroit coming in and then going to San Francisco, a team that clearly has their number. So that's the next three coming up. But they do get a W, and we'll see what's up with Micah Parsons and that ankle issue. All right, coming up as we continue live, we'll hook somebody up with some tickets. We're going to do a couple of things. We're going to hook somebody with some tickets and a $25 gift card to Big City Wings coming up after this next break, so you might want to get in and get your name signed in the raffle box. Coming up, I feel like there potentially may be an uneasy feel. This is a game that you got to win. I was listening to Payne and Pendergast talking about, I don't even want to think about if they lose this game, how this looks. How are you feeling about this game on Sunday? How are you feeling? Are you in a confident space? Or are you in a nervous space against the Jags? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Big City Wings in Edo, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's jump right into it, fellas. And listeners, ladies as well. Sorry, Melissa. Ladies as well out there. You can join in 713-572-4610. Those are on YouTube and Twitch. I legit want to hear where people are. This is a game that the Texans are favored by more than a touchdown.
Bring on the Jaguars!
And based off what the Texans have done and their expectations, and based off how the Jags have looked the first 3 weeks, and especially after they just got whooped. I mean, mollywopped in Buffalo last week, 47-10. This is a game that the Texans thought are thought that they should win, and they should win. They appear to be the better team right now. But we've seen how the Texans have looked through the first three games, and then last week they got whooped in Minnesota, just like the Jags got whooped as well. How's everybody feeling about this thing? How y'all feeling about this game right now? And I'm just like, are you closer to a space of being confident, or are you closer to a space of feeling nervous about this game? How are you feeling about this matchup? You're 2-1, they're 0-3. You know they're coming in here, Clint, probably going to give you the best that they got, because their season probably is over if they go 0-4. We don't see teams make the playoffs really coming out of 0-4. How are you all feeling about this game?
I feel confident about this game.
You're confident? Okay.
Yeah, I feel confident about this game. When there's nothing like an eye opener or a bringing somebody back down to earth, there's nothing better than getting just flat out embarrassed, especially when it's a team that shouldn't embarrass you. Look, Minnesota's a better football team than I gave them credit for. I think Minnesota right now is squarely in the conversation of who's going to win that division and a playoff caliber football team. But with that said, you got embarrassed on several fronts for several reasons. And, you know, I think there's teams that can be overlooked, and the Jacksonville Jaguars this year may be one of those football teams. But for the Houston Texans right now, it don't matter who the next opponent is. Like, the level of focus, the level of get right, in terms of guys being accountable and checking themselves, if it didn't happen this week, then we got to be really careful. This is going to be a rough season. Like, if even the Laremy Tunsils of the world, the highest paid guys that are typically, you know, one of the better players at their position, even you watch that film and you should be embarrassed. The offensive line, there's no more, well, we're close. No, you should be absolutely embarrassed. This offense in general, all these weapons supposedly that they're supposed to be super explosive, you haven't been. It's blatantly obvious now. It's been 3 weeks. You should be in a tough spot. And so I think with that said, I think this is a team that reacts and responds to that situation. I think D'Amico Ryans will have the guys right, and I'm super confident that they go out there and handle their business this week.
Text line coming through. My expectations aren't as high as most of the fan base. Ocho says, I'm neither confident nor worried because I think they still need an upgrade in the trenches to become a serious contender. I'm in full wait-and-see mode right now. Yes, I feel confident in this team.
I'm confident this week. I'm not confident in the team.
You want to make that clear?
I mean, I've been a 9-win guy from the jump, and they've done nothing to lead me to believe that that's not safe. And hell, it may be a stretch at the rate they're going right now.
And they say no.
So no, I'm not.
You're just confident in this.
Just this week, I think this is a talented football team. I don't think Jacksonville is even in the same ballpark with the Texans in terms of players or quarterback or how well they're coached. And I like the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just think more highly of the Texans, and I think it comes to fruition this Sunday.
See, for me, is I am a tad bit nervous. Just because, like, when I look at the talent on Jacksonville, and I've gone back and watched all three of the games that they played, at least, thirty minutes of the games they've played.
You look recaps, at recaps, baby.
They have better talent than what their record is. Like, they just have been horrible in the red zone and finishing drives, but they move up and down. And you look at Thomas; he has been a really good player to start, the receiver out of LSU. You know, Gabe Davis; they've got some talent. ETN can get going. You know, Trevor has talent out there. And to me, a team with its backs against the wall, a team that has to win this game, their season's on the line. There is a bit of they played real tight with teams like the Bears and the Colts. And I think there's an argument that the Jags have just as much talent as those teams do, especially offensively have as much talent as those teams do. And those games were really tight. So I think the Texans will win, but I I am a tad bit nervous when you look at the talent that the Jags have and that they are going to be playing. They should be playing at a level of, like, win or go home type. And so that does bring me a little bit nervous about this game for the Texans, because I do think they're more talented than the Bears and the Colts. And
well, that's the truth. They are that.
And those teams and those games were really, really tight for the Texans.
Yeah.
So
yeah, this is the two defenses are on two different levels. Should be. Let me repeat that. It's hard after last week. These two defenses are on two different levels. That should be the difference in the game. Like you said, they have the ability to be explosive on offense, as should the Texans. They got talent at all the skill positions, as do the Texans, even with some of the guys injured. The reality of it is D'Amico's defense should give this team every chance on Sunday to win the game. And hell, to be honest with you, the way that Trevor's playing right now, they should turn him over. They should be a reason why you win in terms of putting points on the board. At least big shifts in field position. So I think the defenses are the two differences. Like Jacksonville, boy, that commentary around that game last week was scary, man. For them, not for us, but for them. And now you match up C.J. Stroud and this skilled group against that defense. I think they got problems.
Text line coming through. I'm confident we got CJ and D'Amico. Next text coming through. Very nervous. Jacksonville is coming in pissed off after last week. On YouTube and Twitch, Champ Slice, I'm definitely nervous as well. So there's some thoughts there from Texans fans. Someone texted in, I like this one. This is going to make me determine how I feel about this team, how they play in this game. That is an interesting thought there. All right, coming up, it is Football Friday, but a lot more than just happening on Sunday. Saturday, there are some huge games locally and across the country. We'll look at our Saturday slate of college football coming up next. Right,
you sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Right here live on the drive.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Big City Wings in Edo, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here. Come on out. Come on out to Big City Wings. The food is fantastic. They've got appetizers and they've got wings all over the place. We're in Edo, right off navigation, so make your way on out here. And you got prizes, all right? And all you got to do is fill your name out, put it in the raffle box, and you got a chance to win multiple prizes, including we're going to hand out tickets to the U of H Iowa State game. We're going to hook people up with a couple of gift cards from this great place, Big City Wings, that you can use at all locations. We're going to hook somebody up, multiple people up, with two $25 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. So get on in here and have yourself a chance to win, as all you got to do is fill your name out and put it in the raffle box on this Football Friday Live here at Big City Wings here in Edo. All right, we do this every week. It's Football Friday, but football, obviously, Saturday comes before Sunday. And it's always a big day on Saturday. And this is a big, big day on Saturday, both locally, both for the drive, and also nationally, as big games are all around the place. I'm going to get mine out of the way because I think you two have the games that people are really into. Mine is taking place in Orlando, Clint, and that is Colorado against UCF. And UCF is one of the best, if not the best, rushing teams in all of college football. And I'll just say, through the first 2 years of Deion's time there, Colorado has struggled mightily against teams that can run the football very well.
The dogs.
And listen, I thought for a while, Clint, them 16 minutes of fame, and I'm giving it 16 minutes because I respect Prime. Them 16 minutes of fame that Colorado had was potentially going away if they lost to Colorado State. But then they were on national TV last weekend and had an amazing game that I watched all the way through. And they ended up winning in overtime after they had a Hail Mary that was caught from Shedeur Sanders. But now they're 3-1, and they head to another Big 12 team. And I don't feel good about Colorado's chances at stopping this thing, but this thing would have to be, to me, a shootout and a high-scoring game for Colorado to win. We'll see if they can go on the road to win, but I'm intrigued to see if the Deion Colorado story, because to me, I still think it is the most interesting thing in college football. Like, the game, there are better teams and better, but story and interest that just gives people emotions, I think Colorado is maybe at the top when it comes to college football right now. So I'm intrigued to see.
Look,
that.
They were definitely there last year. I mean, the truth of the matter is it's starting to fizzle a bit, and Prime's got to win, and he did win last week, and boy, he's got a hell of a quarterback, and he's got the best player in college football. There's no doubt about that.
He stopped that play at the goal line for them to win. Forcing that fumble.
So look, I think when you know. This is going to be a major test for them. Obviously, traveling to the East Coast, traveling to Orlando, this is where you can prove that you can play big boy football. Because here's the thing. I know UCF isn't a Power 5 powerhouse, right? But their coach damn sure is. They got Gus Malzahn down there, and they got an old quarterback that was at Arkansas. In career-wise, statistically, He's one of the best to ever play at Arkansas, and when he's at his best, he's running downhill. When Gus Malzahn is at his best, he's running downhill. KJ Jefferson is not Cam Newton by any stretch of the imagination, but stylistically, they're very similar. And so this is a game where if Colorado can just stick around, they're going to have to stop a bully attack in Central Florida. Now, I think this is Central Florida. This is one of the lines I like. I like Central Florida at home. Minus 14. I like the over in that game, over 60, I think 3 or 64, I saw it. So I like Central Florida in this game, but you're right, hell of a game. It'll be a hell of a football game.
Yeah, we'll see where Deion is in this game. All right, you've got the big one nationally, the one that everybody's talking about. Number 2, Georgia travels to Tuscaloosa to play the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, this is the big boy this week. And look, this is the big boy of the SEC anyway, I think, of the season so far. Two things. The Georgia Bulldogs, I believe I heard their defense has not given up a touchdown this season. And then you look on the flip side, the what I thought was one of the biggest question marks in football, Jalen Milroe, who clearly can run it, how does he fit into Kalen DeBoer's offense, his for lack of better terms, air raid offense.
They did a number on Wisconsin.
On the road.
On the road. I mean,
that was impressive. And so the matchup, that defense, Jalen Milroe has fit in really, really well with Kalen DeBoer. He from an air yard per attempt on his passes, he's the second most explosive quarterback in the country right now. And we know what he can do athletically with his feet. They're throwing it down the field from an air yards perspective. Like I said, he's second in the country, y'all. Not in the SEC, in the country. This kid's spinning the ball around the park. We know what he can do athletically, and we know what kind of defense Georgia has. That matchup right there is what this thing's all about.
Yeah. Who you got?
I got Georgia. I mean, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. What was it? The Alabama's won, I think, 17 straight. Home wins, conference SEC home wins. I think that run falls Saturday night. Night game in Tuscaloosa, Georgia, Alabama. This is gonna be big. Yeah, I'm taking the Bulldogs.
Yeah, and Georgia lost to them, if you remember, in the SEC championship game last year. The last time they played, and Jalen Milroe was really, really good in that game. Outplayed Beck, the quarterback for Georgia. All right, Tyler. We'll leave the stage to you two as Tyler, your game of the week. I don't think it's a mystery.
Yeah, it shouldn't surprise anyone. Some piggies.
You got A&M and you've got
he's just so disrespectful.
The Arkansas Razorbacks. You've got the Texas A&M Aggies and the Arkansas Razorbacks, the number 24 Texas A&M.
Pig Suey.
See, the it sounded 24. So good until you – that's what Lowe sounds like when I get her to call the Hogs.
They'll be in Dallas coming up for this. Is it in Dallas, right? Is it
yes.
in Dallas?
They'll
be it's in
Dallas,
Jerry's World, man.
Coming up for
is this
game.
Is this the last year?
I'm not sure.
Or is
sure.
there one more?
I know. All I know is it is this year. I'm not sure. I know it was coming to an end. I don't know.
And A&M's favorite in this game. All right, Tyler, I know you expect them to win this game as their favorite. Clint, what is the way that Arkansas wins this game against A&M on Saturday?
Off script, off platform. I mean, Taylen Green is
he's been good.
He's really good off script, and he's one of those long striders. Like if you remember Matt Jones back in the day at Arkansas, doesn't look like he's running near as fast as he is, but nobody can catch him. He's one of those guys, man. Off script, off platform. The scramble game is deadly. He's converting third downs, long third downs. And then the other thing is the quarterback run game, the read run game where he puts it in the belly of Jaquindon Jackson, who's the old Utah running back who is really, really good. He's the real deal, by the way. He's going to be good at the NFL level. Their read run game has been really, really good. So either way you slice it, whether it's on in scheme and on time in the read run game with the quarterback in 22, Jaquindon Jackson, or it's a scramble game, that's got to be big. I know it's Bobby Petrino, and Bobby Petrino is known for his quarterback's ability to spin it from the pocket. Even Lamar was special at Louisville throwing it around the park. I've just not seen anything from Taylen Green that he's going to consistently pick you apart throwing the football from the pocket. He is special in the quarterback run game and special in the scramble game. So that's it. And the other thing is this defense, they'll give up two, maybe three really long touchdowns, but they're in your face and they're super physical and they're swarming, to use a Houston term. They're going to cause some turnovers. And so causing turnovers, quarterback run game, and a scramble game. That's how they're going to win it.
Tyler, it seems like with the Aggies, this new quarterback has kind of changed the feel of how people and how this offense looks with A&M. And they bring him in. It feels like Aggie fans have a lot more confidence with this quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Marcel Reed has come on the scene. Not saying he's just been lights out, but he's been a complete game changer for the Texas A&M Aggies. He has changed the offensive side of the ball in a big way ever since Wegman got benched. It's really the first time the Aggies have had a true threat of a dual threat quarterback since Manziel. This is the first time. No, he's far more athletic than old Kellen Mond was.
McKellen Mond was a dual threat. I mean,
I know, but I'm talking about the electric plays off script. You didn't see. I mean, you saw that from Mond here and there, but he wasn't. He stayed in that pocket a whole lot more than we're seeing from Marcel right now.
To your point, Reed has got some serious athletic twitch. I mean, it's different level. He can run, and the thing about Reed is he's in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
The what Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud always talk about, micro movements. He's really good naturally with that in the pocket. He's got a nice whip. Here's the problem with Reed. Here's the problem that Reed has, Ron. That Arkansas strength is their secondary. They're going to play six defensive backs if they're all healthy. They're going to play six defensive backs, and they are in your face, physical ball hawks with good ball skills. And A&M, the one spot that I know, I'm sure there's more, but the one spot where they are not up to snuff, where they got to get significantly better, is the wide receiver position. So that could cause some problems for Reed in the pass game against Arkansas. That strength versus weakness could end up being a big issue.
What you got coming up at the four?
Well, Bobby Slowick spoke. And first of all, he always makes me football horny. But this is a big week, Ron. This is a big week for the Texans. This is a get-right week for the Texans. And a couple of the comments that Bobby Slowick made to the media yesterday when he spoke, damn it, should motivate everybody. Fan base, players, Laramie Tunsil, D'Amico Rines. This has to be changed, and it has to be changed tomorrow. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.